Good morning and welcome to Scarborough Citadel. How are you doing this morning? Good. We're all here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with one another. We welcome you to this place. And if you're here for the very first time or you're visiting after a while, welcome. Welcome. We are happy to see you. We are happy that you are here with us and that we are worshiping together. Bienvenidos todas las personas que están en este lugar esta mañana. Dios los bendiga y estamos felices de que estén en medio de nosotros. If you have your bulletins with you, this purplish, beautiful color bulletin, we have our announcements there, and I just want to draw your attention to our prayer request list. And so it's the summer, and I know that people go away and they go to visit family and friends. And so the place may look a little bit empty. And if you just look around and you see someone's not here, I just invite you to pray for them this week. Whatever they are, whatever is going on in their lives, may they know that they have a family here at Scarborough that is thinking of them and it's praying for them as well. Some of them are having some health issues. So if you know that as well, please pray. We know and we believe in the power of prayer, that God hears his people and that God answers prayers. So I invite you to do that. And other than that, all the announcements are there, and I just invite you to please read them and let us know if you have any questions. And for this one, save the date. How are you doing with your sunflower seeds? Did anyone already plant your seed flowers, your seeds for the sunflowers? Not yet? You still have time. If you don't have your seeds, there's a basket out there on the Welcome Center, and you can just grab one little bag and bring those seeds home and plant them and let us know. We're going to be announcing ways in which you can share with us the progress of your sunflowers. So you can do it through Facebook, you can do it via email, or you can just take the picture, go and print it and bring it to us. But whatever it is, we're going to stay connected during the summer as a family. I would like to invite you to stand with me. We're going to be singing together this beautiful song, Come Into His Presence. We are in the presence of God constantly. He is ever present. But it's a special when we come together as a family to worship, to encourage one another. You know what I really like about coming to Sundays is to hear the band, to hear the worship team, and to hear your voices. Like to know that I am with my family in Christ worshiping my God. And also, it's really, really encouraging to know that in other parts of the city, our Salvation Army family, but also other churches around the city, around the country, around the world, are doing exactly the same thing today. And so it's great to be part of that. So song number 331 on your song books. The words will be on the screen, and we're going to be singing with the help of the band. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. We come to this place with thanksgiving in our hearts. with praises, God, because you deserve, you're worthy of honor and worship and praise. You are our Heavenly Father. You are our great I Am. You are our provider, and we thank you this morning. Father, we come to you knowing, God, that you are here, that you are ever present, that you listen to our words. Señor, te damos gracias y venimos a tu presencia esta mañana con adoración y con alabanza y con palabras de gratitud, Señor, por quien tú eres en nuestras vidas, por tu amor incomparable, por tu presencia en este lugar y por saber que tú escuchas nuestra oración. God, and as we come into your presence, you know each and every detail of our lives. Each and every person in this place, you know them by name. All of those that are not here with us this morning for different reasons or circumstances, you know them as well. And Father, we pray that as we worship, that as we come to you this morning to honor you, to give you praises, to give you thanks, you'll bless our lives. May we experience and feel and sense your presence, your love, your embrace, God. May we be able, God, to hear from you a word that will transform our lives and make our faith in you and our trust in you stronger. We pray that. We pray that this morning as we worship, your spirit will move in this place, touching our lives and making us new, God. Señor, mientras te adoramos, te pedimos que tu presencia nos bendiga. Señor, tú conoces cada persona en este lugar, aun aquellos que no están entre nosotros por diferentes circunstancias. Y yo te pido, Señor, que tú los bendigas donde quiera que estén. Señor, que tú seas la fuente de nuestra vida, que tú seas la fuente de nuestra fuerza, que tú hoy, Señor, bendigas nuestras vidas mientras escuchamos tu palabra, Señor, que nos transformes y nos des un toque nuevo de tu presencia. We pray all these things in the beautiful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to invite you to just turn to your right or to your left and say hello to the person sitting or standing right beside you. Para las personas que necesiten traducción, hay equipos de traducción aquí abajo y vamos a estar traduciendo el servicio. God bless you all this morning. It's good to be here.
Good morning. Okay, a few people are listening. We're going to join together in singing this morning. We're few in numbers, but mighty. And so I want to read from Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "From the rising of the sun to the setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." Let's stay standing together if you're able. We're going to sing our praises to God this morning that we are here to worship him. Thank you. standing if you're able. Feel free to sit if you need to. And we're going to continue to worship. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Will you sing with us? With me for prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning as we've gathered in your house to worship, as we've come before you saying, here I am to worship. And God, I pray that that's true for all of us today, that we are here with open hearts to hear and to receive what you have to say. We thank you, God, for reminders like this song, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And so, Father, we claim that power today. We plant it deep in us. And we just pray that all that we do this morning and through our week and in all our actions, God, is glorifying you, and that we are able to show that power of you in us, in the light that we are in the community, in the people around us, God. And so just be with us this morning. Give us ears to listen and open hearts to hear what you have to say to us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Please be.
As we were singing in Christ alone, I was reminded, because right now I'm going to pray for the offering, but I was reminded by reading the words of this song, of the prophet Micah, chapter 6 and verse 6, and the prophet asked himself this question: with what shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord? And yes, he was thinking about an offering, but it was more an offering from his heart. Not what is in his envelope, not what is, not the amount of the bill, but what is in our hearts. And I'd like to encourage you, as we participate in this moment of the offering, to consider that. How are our hearts, our relationships? How are we coming to put an offering in the plate? Can we offer our lives, our talents, our time to the Lord beside the money we give to church? Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, what a question. With what shall I come before you? We acknowledge you don't need our money, but you do need our hearts and our talents and our time, our energy for your kingdom. But in obedience, we bring to you also a small portion of the many blessings you give us financially. And we pray, Lord, that as we bring this offering to you, you will multiply in our houses, you will multiply in your church, so that we can reach many, many more for you. Bless us, Lord, as we participate in this sacred moment, and bless the rest of our meeting this morning. We ask in Jesus Christ. I don't always pray for the offering. In fact, I almost never do. So I was supposed to call the ushers first before praying. That means I have to pray again? Scripture for this morning comes out of a gospel according to Mark, chapter 6. We do follow the lectionary for you who are not familiar with that. It is a Christian calendar for preaching. We are in the gospel of Mark for some time now. Last week it was about peace. It was about... would you like to make it a combo? Remember that. He was asking for one thing and receiving three in return from Jesus. And this is not quite a follow-up on that, but there is a relationship in the two passages. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, the second part of verse 6, it says, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling 12 to him, and he began to send them out two by two." Keep that in mind, two by two, "and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were the instructions." So Jesus gave them some instructions. "Take nothing for the journey." Let me read that again. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, but take no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but do not bring an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. And in any place you will not welcome, you listen to you, leave the place and shake the dust off your feet as testimony against them." Let us pray together. Father, we ask for a special translation of this scripture into a truth for our lives. We ask for a clear message, for encouragement for our lives as we follow you and serve you. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring something new to our lives in this day. Amen. I really like, and I enjoy watching superhero movies, whether they are Marvel or DC. I know them all, and I can tell you the details. And usually, it is a superhero or a group of superheroes, and that's the center of the movie. They're going to save the world. However, and this happens in every movie, in different ways, but this is always what happens. However, at some point in the movie, the superhero is facing its last minute. He's about to be promoted to glory. And someone else from the movie appears and saves its life. So who was the superhero? The idea of what I mentioned this is that the superhero, being a superhero, can't do the job without the help of someone else. The superhero, with all the powers, as mighty as he is or she is, cannot do the job by him or herself. They need a partner. They need someone else to accomplish what they want to do. Let's keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, today's scripture, Jesus is giving specific instructions to the 12. He's calling the 12 and he's saying, okay, we're going to win the nations for the kingdom. And let me tell you a couple of details. First, there was not church at this time. So they were not going knocking doors, inviting people to church, because there was not a building right at that moment to invite them to for a Sunday worship meeting like this. So they were going simply door by door or place to place or village to village to tell people about Jesus and what was going on, just to say the testimony of Jesus. Now, last week we said that one of the things that Jesus offered the sick woman was freedom. And that freedom was to go and do what we have to do. We were set free at the cross simply to go and preach the gospel. You and I are free to live a holy life. That's the reason of our freedom. Well, not too many amens, but that's fine. You get the point. So Jesus said, okay, these are the instructions. Take nothing for the journey. Can you imagine that? Calling you to do something and say, I have a mission for you. This is what you have to do. Go, but take nothing. A bit hard. Especially if he's a teenager and you say, go do this, but don't take the cell phone. Really hard. So Jesus said, take nothing. But not only he says, take nothing, he was specific. And he says, no bread, no money, but take your sandals, but not an extra tunic or an extra shirt. And I'll explain that in a moment. The first instruction he gives is, take no bread. So I'm assuming there was a little bit of debate between them and Jesus asking questions, you know. It's like when you're going for a job interview and then you come to an introduction, to an orientation. You ask questions when they give you a task. This is what you have to do. So they come to a job orientation and Jesus says, okay, this is what you have to do, but take no bread. So we can imagine the disciples asking, perhaps Peter, what do you mean? Take no bread. We have to walk long distances between one place and the other, and there is not Tim Hortons in between. So how are we going to survive if we don't take a piece of bread? Well, first lesson Jesus is teaching here is, be dependent on me. I will be your provider. I'll give you what you need. Don't worry about it. I'll be there when you need me. Matthew 6 in chapter 6 and verse 8 says, he knows the things we need, even before we ask him for them. Are you in need of something today? You're not. Well, let's close the doors and go to heaven. Are you in need of something today? Something big or small? I think we all are in need of something. And that is a promise. Jesus knows that. Even before you go and kneel and pray, he knows what you need. He knows your needs before you go and ask. And this is what Jesus is telling them. Take no bread. I know you're going to get hungry, and I'll provide for you. Jesus sent Moses to the rescue of Israel who were slaves for over 400 years. And they asked the same questions. Okay, we're leaving now, and we're going from this place, leaving everything behind. What are we going to eat? And God said, don't worry about it. I said manna. And you can eat manna and enjoy that. Only thing you have to do is reach your hand, collect it for the day, and eat it. Is that too much? No. I'll provide for you because I know you have needs. And I am. And I want to be your provider. So God provided manna for Israel for 40 years. They ate the delicious thing for 40 years. They didn't have to plant the manna. They didn't have to go to the store and buy it. They did not have to go to the long lines of Costco. They just reached out and collected and ate it. God is our provider. Amen. Second thing God's saying here, take no money. Take no money. So what if we need something on the way? Do they take credit cards? Maybe not. Not in those days. Why did Jesus say take no money? Again, if we make a parallel with the Exodus, when they left Egypt, if you remember in chapter 3 of the Exodus, they took gold from the Egyptians. They took silver and gold. That was the money of the moment. So they took money as they were leaving Egypt. What happened is, in the very first moment of conflict, in the moment of facing a difficult time, what they did, they collected all the money, all the gold, and they built an idol. and start worshiping an idol. Money was a problem for them. That's why Jesus is saying here, for this journey, if you want to go and win the world for me, take no money. Yes, we do need money. Please, bring your offerings. But what I'm saying here is we have to be dependent on God, that He will be our provider. Here's another example. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter and Paul are walking. And they arrived to one place, and there is a lame guy. He was born like that, could not walk. And he's begging for money. He's begging for money. And Peter reached out his pockets. He said, I don't have money. How about you, John? Do you have a quarter? So John did the same. Say, no, I don't have any cash with me. So Peter said, well, you know what, my friend? We have no money, but what we have, we give you. Stand up and walk in Jesus Christ's name. And you know what was next? He got up and he walked in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know what happened if Peter or John happened to have a dime in their pockets? The lime was a lime. But because they had no money and they have faith, they say, get up in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we have no money, but what we have, that we give you. Walk in the name of Jesus. And he did. What Jesus is teaching us here is, trust not in your money. Trust not in your properties. Trust not in what you have in the bank. Trust not in the salary you receive from the bank every week or every other week. But trust in your provider. Trust in God that He will give you all that you need, because He knows your needs way before you go and ask for them. Third thing that Jesus said, take only one tunic, one shirt, don't take two, but take sandals. This suggests that you can go into a journey with or without the sandals. And in those days, if you were very fortunate, you would have one pair. But in most cases, people would have none. The second tunic or the second shirt was used as a blanket on a cold night. So usually when someone would go in a journey, they'll take the shirt they have on their backs, and they'll take an extra shirt, which they will use as a blanket for cold night. So what Jesus is saying here is, don't take an extra shirt because you're not staying in the village. You're going from place to place. You're going to spread the gospel. So don't get comfortable in one place. Don't get comfortable in your pews, because we need to go out and reach those who needs to know and needs to hear about Jesus Christ. So don't get comfortable, because this is only 1 hour meeting on Sunday, and the rest of the week we have to go out and help the poor and be God's and Jesus' eyes to see the injustice, and be Jesus' ears so that we can hear the claim of others. Don't get comfortable, because we have to go out and reach. But why will he suggest then take sandals? Perhaps because it was a long journey that requires a lot of walking. That reminded me of the prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7. One of the only two or three, I think, that in the Bible asked to lose his life. He asked God, take my life. I give up. I can't continue with this. But I love God's answer. He was hungry because he took no bread. And he was resting. And the angel appeared, and there was a bread in the oven. Well, not in the oven, but there was bread, just fresh. Did you like the smell of fresh bread? Ah, he was there. And I think Elijah asked, "So, are you coming to kill me?" And they said, "No, no, 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 that's not God's plan. Eat and drink. Eat and drink and get up. Because the journey, my friend, is long. We still have things to do." So he got up and he ate, he drank, and he went out, and God gave him more instructions. God says, "You're going to anoint this one as a king of the south, and this other one you're going to anoint as a king of the north. But also, you are going to find Elisha, and you are going to anoint him too, and he will be taking over after you. But for a period of time, you will be partners, because you, Elijah, cannot be a superhero without Elijah. So you're going to be like kind of a Batman and Robin thing here." God gave him a partner for the mission in that specific moment. He was provided for him. God appeared to Moses and said, "Moses, I have a mission for you. I have a plan. I'm going to bring freedom to my people. So you go over and speak to the king and tell the king to let them go." And Moses' answer was, "God, I said, "Well, let's do this, Moses. I'll send your brother with you, and he will do the talking part. You can do the snake trick, and he will do the talking part because you're not a really good speaker." Two by two, he provided a partner for Moses so that they both can go and accomplish the mission, as he did with Elijah by providing Elisha. He did with Moses, sending his brother Aaron with him. There was a moment close to enter the promised land, and they said, "Well, let's send a couple of spies to explore the promised land." So they called Joshua. "We can now send this guy alone. Let's send him over with Caleb." Two by two. So they sent Joshua along with Caleb to explore the promised land. And if you keep reading the Bible, you keep finding many, many, many examples of how God sent two by two, send people in pairs, provides a partner so that we can accomplish the mission. We are in the middle of this mission. The Apostle Paul, we said, we are in a spiritual warfare. And we need a partner so that we can pray for each other, so we can support each other, so we can win the world for God. And you might be thinking right now, who that might be for me? My husband or my wife? Certainly no. My best friend? I don't know. My neighbor? Who knows? That guy's grumpy. Listen to this. When God called the disciples later in Matthew chapter 28, and we all know the scripture, he called them to what we know as the Great Commission. Go and preach the gospel everywhere. Listen to this. What it says at the end, and I know you know the scripture. "I will be with you till the end. I will be with you till the end. So, God is telling us this morning, I will be your provider. I know your needs. Before you pray, before you ask, before you share, I know what you need. I know that. I know that, and I want to be your provider. The second thing God is saying is, don't let anything in between. In this case, it was money. If there is anything in between you and me, just take it away. Is it money? Is it a job? Is it a collection that you have? Whatever it is that is in the middle of your relationship with God, just take it out of the way so you can see God face to face, and that this will be not a barrier to do what you have to do, what he's asking you to do. And the third thing is, go in pairs of two. But Jesus is saying, I am your partner. I am the other one. You go and do what you have to do. Live the life, which is beautiful and have a lot of good things to enjoy. But life is also struggles. Life is also bad moments because of our bad decisions or for whatever reason. Life brings sadness at times, discouragement, doubts. But what Jesus is saying is, I was with you, I am with you, and I will be with you until the end. I am with you until the end. The sick woman we spoke about last week was praying for 12 years. 12 years. Till the moment that she came close to Jesus and she was healed. Right at that moment, she understood the word. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And we have to understand that same word this morning. I am with you. I hope that as we come together in reflection time, you can convince yourself of that, that Jesus is with you. There might be no bread on the table right now. He is with you. There might be no money, and that might be a good thing because He is with you. And there might be a lot of different conflicts and situations around your life right now. Well, let me give you the good news. He is with you, and He knows your needs way before you ask for them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these promises. For Moses, it was Aaron. For Elijah, it was Elisha. For Joshua, it was Caleb. But what a gift that for us, it is you. It's your Holy Spirit within us, guiding us, leading us, encouraging us, loving us, taking us to places, providing even things that we are not sure we need, but we got them. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, for your mercies, for the glory we can experience when we come together to your feet. Father, and as we continue to worship you and as we reflect in the gift that it is for us to recognize that you are our partner in this mission to evangelize and in this mission to be a witness of your gospel to others, we ask that you continue to be with us till the end. So this morning we ask you, Lord, with all our hearts, Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Come and invade this place. Come and make us feel your presence in a new way. For all those of us who are in need of something, thank you for the reminder of knowing that you know our needs. For those of us who are struggling with something right now, thank you for letting us know that you are with us and that we will go to the other side with you. That soon we will see the light at the end of the tunnel. We thank you, Lord, that we can count on you. Just touch our hearts this morning and our minds as we respond to you in faith. Jesus Christ. Amen. As always, this place is open for you to come and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for knowing my needs. Thank you for being my provider. Thank you for the reminder of your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Or to ask for whatever it is. He knows your need, but you can come and say, Lord, although I know you know my needs, I'm here surrendering my life to you. As we sing together, feel free to come. Someone will pray for you and with you. Holy Spirit, rain down. Father, as we experience your presence coming down, we pray for all those who are not here for any reason, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will come and embrace them wherever they are. We pray for those who are watching over the internet, that they can experience your presence in a special way as well. We pray for all of those our brothers and sisters who are sick and ill at this moment, and ask you, Lord, to be the healer and provider for them. You know their needs. You are greater than science and medications and treatments, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for those who are facing not only a physical sickness, but emotional, those who are sad, discouraged. Lord, bring the presence of your Spirit to bring a new encouragement. Bless our nation. Bless our world. As we follow you, as we hold hands to accomplish our mission, as we walk together as one army, bless us, Lord. Bless our leaders internationally, our national leaders here, our divisional leaders. Bless every Salvation Army officer in Canada and abroad. Every ministry unit has their own dynamics. And we pray, Lord, that you will intervene and you will bring a sense of peace and clarity as we try to find strategies of how to do ministry together. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We love you and we need you. And we want to follow you, knowing that you are with us till the end. Thank you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Should we stand and sing again? Holy Spirit, rain down. And in the meantime, I invite the band to come back. Well, the 12 were called and were sent with a specific mission, with no bread, with no money, with only one tunic and their sandals. What they did, they trust and they obeyed. And that's our closing song for today. Trust and obey. It's not easy sometimes. But remember, he is with us. Let's sing together, trust and obey. Thank you. My prayer that this psalm will be an encouragement for you this week, and that you will be able to trust and obey. Benediction for this morning, a short phrase that I said during my sermon this morning from Matthew 28:20. You can fill up the line and take this promise with you there. Go in the name of the Lord this week, and this is the benediction. I will be with you till the end. I will be with you until the end. God bless you.